Well, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott back with us once again. You guys know that every time we have a recording, we have new information, and it just seems to continue to pour in, and we don't have enough time. It seems we could talk for hours about all that is happening around this earth, especially revolving around our money and control of this earth. It definitely feels like the enemy is trying to get a hold of all of us, control us all. If you guys want to reach out to Dr. Elliott during this interview or anytime, amwenow.com/gold is where you can reach out to him and his team, and they'll get back to you within 24 to 48 hours and work with you. Absolutely amazing support. So anyway, we have some good things to talk about today. What seems to be the big one for you this week, Dr. Elliott?
There's a lot of big things, LT. So I was like, I don't know, but we'll start. We'll just start, right? So last week we talked about there was the UN agenda to actually their new decision to have a digital army to stop misinformation and disinformation, right? So the digital army is nothing other than artificial intelligence putting its tentacles out to the world, seeing if there's anybody advertently or inadvertently saying things that are contrary to their view. And they call that hate speech. It's like, since when is somebody's opinion hate speech, right?
Right.
So it's not. It's just they might be talking about anti-vax stuff because, you know, there's another COVID variant coming out. They might be talking about central bank digital currency like we talk about all the time. I mean, it doesn't mean hatred. It actually, in my opinion, it means helping. It means love. It means the opposite of it because we're trying to help people, right?
Right.
But so here's my point behind all that. The rules obviously don't go both ways, right? So they're just trying to silence people who don't have this globalist, communist, fascist agenda for the whole world, right? To enslave everybody. The reason I say that is the economic numbers just came out like a couple days ago, second quarter GDP growth, and the government said it was 2.4%. You know, they've had all quarter to actually figure this stuff out, right? So then they get it done because the second quarter, and you know, so January, February, March, April, May, June, the end of the second quarter was the last day of June. So you've had all of July and part of August already for them to actually figure out the numbers, which all it should be is a spreadsheet. They figure it out, right?
Right.
But so they said the growth was 2.4%. That's the number that they report. And the reason I'm bringing all of this up is because have you noticed how every time some kind of a number comes out that's important that they revise it like three days later? So they did. They revised the second quarter GDP growth from 2.4 to 2.1. So they cover the 2.4 story saying, this is really great. We did better than we expected. And then they give out the real numbers like 3 days later. It's like, and what is it? Crickets. It's just nobody says anything about anything. Because they don't see if you can brag about some fake number, you don't want to come in and say you made a mistake. But the fake number was always fake. They knew what the real number probably was, but they just go and revise it so they don't get caught lying. They said, oh, new data came out, new intel. We just revised it down lower. But they never revise it up. They always revise it lower, right? So,
okay.
So wouldn't you classify that as misinformation or disinformation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can I just pause you right there for a second? For some folks listening and for me too, just a little bit. Could you tell me what GDP is? I mean, just a basic, because I have no clue. I couldn't talk about it if I wanted to.
GDP is gross domestic product. So that is all of the products produced and consumed in a country, right? So it's everything that we produce in America. And there's always like some kind of weird mechanics on there. It's like, let's say you're buying a General Motors car, which is an American company, but half of it's manufactured in Mexico. Is that going to go on Mexico's GDP or America's, right? Okay. So you have GNP, gross national product, gross domestic product. They vary it, but this is basically all the final products that would be classified as an American company, right? Because their sales tax revenues, the all the tax revenues, the payroll taxes would actually be paid to Americans, right? So, okay. So this is basically the general global measurement of a country's growth and productivity. It would be how much did their GDP grow, their gross domestic product grow over the year, over the quarter, or over the month, whatever, right? So, okay. So they say it grew 2.4, an annualized rate of 2.4%. Well, A, that stinks, because what's inflation? Unofficially, inflation is hovering at about 15 to 20%.
Okay.
It's right in that ballpark. This is what I did my dissertation on and produced the algorithm for the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you know, okay. Because the way they did it was wrong, right? So we're at 15 to 20%. So that is a function of everything. Inflation is just retail prices of what everybody buys. Gross domestic product is retail prices of what everybody consumes.
Mm.
So if the economy, what is that? So how do I explain it in most basic terms? So
yes.
if inflation is hovering at 15%, let's say, okay. And that's the measure of everything that we basically are paying money for, and gross mm-hmm. domestic product is the retail measure of everything that we produce, you would think that gross domestic product would equal inflation.
Okay.
Because it's just the same. We're measuring the same thing.
Okay.
Things that we're producing versus things that we're buying. It's the same products, right? So then why is inflation so much higher than gross domestic product? It's like, oh, because the economy is actually shrinking. Mm. That's why, right? So they don't really want to get those numbers out, which is why they lie about the unemployment rate, which is why they lie about the inflation rate. And I mean, this is why it's hard to compare apples to apples from month to month, or quarter to quarter, year to year, because mm-hmm. they keep reassessing the numbers and revising them after the fact, and then they don't report it. Well, this one was reported, but nobody covered it, because you don't want to report that the economy is growing even slower than what we said. Guaranteed, if it were revised upward, they would actually brag about it, right? So
right.
They did not. So you've got, it's not equal standards. It's not equal scales when they want to put people in jail in the United Kingdom for hate speech, which is nothing different than just, it's not saying, LT, I hate you because of your religion or because of your gender or because of your politics, right? It's like, I think that we put too much emphasis on zero carbon emissions, or what about the border crisis? What about immigration? All I could say is something like that. It's like, you're spreading misinformation and disinformation about those things that the globalists care so much about. So therefore, we're going to shut down your social media profile and we're going to fine you or put you in jail, right? It's like, good grief. It's not even a slam against anybody other than the government, and their policies might be stupid, right? But that's all that we're talking about. So you've got that kind of stuff going on. Now, the COVID 2.0, everywhere I look, it's starting to be talked about again. And I have a very bad feeling about it, right? It's like lockdowns, mask mandates, travel restrictions, probably again. Well, the COVID 1.0, that almost put middle America and entrepreneurs out of business, right? Because they had to live on their savings and on their retirement while they were shut down, and people couldn't go out to eat. People couldn't do anything, right? And it's like movie theaters almost went out of business. I mean, and so what did they do? They lived on loans. They lived on credit cards. They just did whatever they could to survive and get through. Well, that pretty much wiped out all savings of entrepreneurs in the middle class and small business owners.
Right.
So if COVID 2.0 hits and they have restrictions again, in a world where there's no guarantees, LT, this is basically my guarantee, it will wipe out most of this sole proprietors, mom and pop, small business in America.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've already used all of their savings. They haven't had time to recover from it from the first pandemic, right?
Right.
So, and I heard 2 days ago that the new pandemic is much more, they're already spreading this information about it, right? That it's going to be, it's facing lockdowns 2.0. And here's a quote. Experts say that this variant requires intense monitoring and vigilance that many of its predecessors did not. That's because it has even greater potential to escape the antibodies that protect people from getting sick. It's like, so how could it escape the antibodies? Well, it's because they want it to. I mean, it's manufactured, right? It's like they're so it's because they're not giving us the right thing. And so what they want is lockdown 2.0 to create crisis, to allow people then to accept what they have coming. What they have coming is central bank digital currency and the complete loss of freedom, the complete change in the global economy, a complete change in everything that we know, with the dollar being the U.S. reserve currency. If they want something else to come in, you've got to create havoc and crisis. It's so bad that people will want what you have, right? So we're already talking about lockdowns 2.0, which I think is going to kill the domestic economy, not just here, the domestic economy of pretty much most countries. I mean, this is getting really, really rough, and I can't stand it that they're thinking about this again.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, I always say that it's probably because the election's coming up again. That's what we always talk about. And so they need to, you know, kick it off just like they did last time. They were already practicing in September, October of 2019, getting ready for this next election so they can do mail-in ballots, and then they can mail in as many ballots as you want. And before you know it, they do the counting and it's over. So that was a big part of it for me. The other part was I was running a small business at the time, and it almost destroyed everything that we were doing. And I talked to many of our counterparts that run the same type of business, and several of them went under. So it was a very difficult time for all of us.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be difficult even more so, because back then probably had a little bit of savings because you already hadn't gone through it once. Right. So I do think it's going to be quite severe. This time, I think they're going to fight differently about it. I think they're just going to force mandate lockdowns, get everybody to stay home. I mean, it's going to be kind of brutal. I really do. And I'm just praying that we don't even get to that point, that it doesn't happen again. But it's not looking like that's going to be the case when you've got the big companies, the pharmaceutical companies, already making a vaccine, which is weird to me. Okay. So I saw the story. It's like, how can you make a vaccine for something that doesn't exist yet, right? Well, they're making it. And they're saying it's a super vaccine that will actually basically help with just about everything, right? Any kind of a cold, corona-type virus. I mean, it's supposed to help with all of it, right? Well, it's not. It's like, but plus they do know what's going to be in it, which is why they got a head start on making the vaccine.
Right.
It's like, it's just stupid. So you've got that happening. All of this is pointing towards economic struggle. America's going to struggle. We're going into an election year. When the government starts doling out money, people are going to vote for the party that's doling out the most money, right? I mean, this is like politics 101 kind of stuff. It goes way back to the Roman Republic, where politicians started bribing people for votes, right? It's by offering free grain. I mean, we do the same thing now. It's different language. Instead of just saying, well, we're going to give you free stuff for our vote, that's the end result. But they say, oh, you vote for me, we're going to get you healthcare, universal basic income. We'll make sure that your benefits don't come down, right? I mean, all these fluffy stories, and there's no such thing as a free lunch. Right?
Yeah.
There's just not. So because there's no such thing as a free lunch, another article that I read over the last couple of days, it's called "The Western World is About to Deliver Some Very Bad News to Its Young Adults." Right. So if you wanted to share that on the screen, if you can.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
It is.
Sweet. Okay, you got it. So here's where, what's the bad news? Well, or last week we had the BRICS nations meet, right? So they met and they decided we're going to devalue the dollar, de-dollarize the whole world. by trading with each other in our own currencies in the BRICS nations, which is 70% of the world's population, right? So devastating to the dollar. We're going to have to print our way out of it. There's no escape. It's going to cause massive amounts of inflation, right? So, so then what's the bad news for the younger generation? Well, here's the bad news. So when you print money like there's no tomorrow, it causes inflation, prices go up, you have to raise rates to slow that down. Fewer people are working, but all of this causes a massive entitlement state, right? It's like you got people asking for handouts everywhere. They just have to make ends meet. Some need a Band-Aid, some want it to be a lifestyle, right? But the point is, there's a lot of money going out and nothing really coming back because people aren't working, right? That's very expensive. So what we're seeing, what's going to be devastating to young people is, with all of this, almost a guarantee, with the inflationary pressures and rising interest rates that will be here for a while, they're going to have to start raiding the Social Security Trust Fund. Just like they've done before in economic hard times, and say, oh, when it gets good again, we'll just pay it back. Oh, not everyone's going to retire at the same time anyways, right? So let's just borrow it because we don't want to raise the debt ceiling. We have expenditures, we have fiscal stimulus, blah, blah, blah. But this time they're not going to be able to pay it back. So I think here's the warning to young people is, when you prepare for retirement, pretend like there is no Social Security. What would you do differently now if you knew that there was no government subsidies coming in for your retirement? No Social Security, no Medicare, you know, all of that. Right. We would start saving up quite a bit, right? And this is where I think that we are. I don't think for young people, Social Security is really going to be around. I think they're going to raid it so much because they need the money for other things, just like they've raided it before, that I think young people in an inflationary world where interest rates are rising are going to have to think of life without Social Security, without a government retirement, which technically it's not that much anyways. It's not much as much as private retirements generally, but still, imagine a world where that's not there, because I don't think that it will be. I really don't. So if you knew that to be the case, what would you do? A, you would probably save up more every month. Actually, physically save money, which it's hard for Americans to do, that we like to spend money, right?
Yeah.
But save up more than what you normally would, because, hey, when you stop working, there's no cash flow coming in unless you've saved up for it, right? So I would do that, and I would start allocating into the strength of the markets, which right now happens to be silver. And then gold would be second, probably stock market and real estate. They're all hitting the skids lately, but they would generally be third and fourth. But actually allocate into silver. Ride out this trend, right? So then when you do need money to retire on down the road, whether that's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road, your private investments, everything that you worked hard to allocate into, it's going to be there because it's growing, right? So what we've seen in silver even, like 6 weeks ago maybe, don't know the exact date, you know, it's like $22.50 an ounce, not even the low that it was at. It was like at $22.50, and today it's $25. Literally, it's up over 11% in like the last week and a half. I mean, it's right. Amazing, right? So you look at what it's done over the last 10 months. Well, LT, it was $17.97. Now this week it hit $25. That's incredible. You look at what it's done since, March of 3.5 years ago. So March of 2020, 3.5 years ago, silver was $11.91 an ounce. So it's up now at 25. It's up well over 100% in 3.5 years. That's incredible growth, right? So if you want to retire down the road, you know, whether that's 10, 20, 30 years down the road, and Social Security is not going to be there, the point is you had better allocate into something that's growing and keep doing that and changing your position when the time, when the markets peak out and we go into something else that's growing, right? I mean, that's our goal, buy low, sell high. Now, I'm not saying with certainty that, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that Social Security is going to run out for sure. But boy, the writing is on the wall. Mm-hmm. When we see it in France, they had to put in massive austerity measures, raising the age of retirement by another 3 to 5 years, I think it was, and reducing benefits. So they raised the retirement age, lowered benefits. Those austerity measures caused riots in the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what can happen in America. They just kind of do the same thing. It could be ugly. It could be really ugly. So this is kind of the world we're living in right now, right? Where it's not just governments that are running out of money, but private companies are running out of money. The cost of hiring, the cost of healthcare, the cost of everything is becoming very intrusive on business owners. And it's almost unreasonable to think that they could actually pay for that stuff, right? So this is the world we're heading into. We need to prepare for that world because we can't really change it, right? However, we can identify it and adapt and act accordingly. And that's what we help people do.
Yeah, I was noticing, one of the big things we talked about last week entering into this week would be the BRICS, right? And what was going on in that area. I wanted to show you a quick little, somebody put this cartoon out, said it's from 100 years, 1925 cartoon by Robert Miner of the changing balance of power in the world coming to fruition after 100 years. This image went viral on social media after the recent BRICS summit. So there you have China, India, and Africa overlooking U.S. imperialism, the guys with the cracked whips. And so definitely strong cartoon there for sure, and amazing how they would have that prediction play out in front of us.
And how long ago was that cartoon?
They said a 1925 cartoon.
Oh, my word. So almost 100 years ago.
Yep.
And they already nailed it. China, India, South Africa. I mean, this is wild. That's crazy. It's like a prophetic cartoon almost.
Yeah,
it's
just like they knew. They knew. So what's going on in that area? Have you seen anything on the BRICS side since they all joined?
So, yeah. Well, I mean, not really since they joined. Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates joined the BRICS nations.
Right, I'm sorry.
But then you've got Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, and Argentina that start up January 1st. So the tentacles are spreading, right? Well, so here's what I think is kind of the ugly side of that. Egypt, one of those countries that start up the beginning of January, it's not a strong economy.
Okay.
They've got massive devaluation of their currency and it's unstable. Iran, well, have they ever been a strong economy? No. How about Ethiopia? Even worse, right? So, and Argentina is going through massive inflationary spiral, yet again, they can never get out of it, of their currency collapse. So you look at these, they happen to be big oil producing countries, but other than that, they're really not all that great, as far as adding things to the table that they can bring productivity wise and everything else, because their economy is in shambles. Right. But here's where I don't think that the BRICS nations really care, because you're getting population, you're getting a larger trade block. They might not bring anything useful to the table except people, and there's power in numbers, right? So I think what's going to happen, the point of all that is, since their economies aren't that strong, why would the BRICS nations want them? Well, they want them for the people, not because of the economy. So I think what they're going to do is add other stronger economies pretty early on next year to compensate for the ones that should have been strong that they just added. So I don't think we've even seen the beginning of the end of the cycle that we're in of countries being added to the BRICS nations. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a bloodbath for the US dollar, an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some assumptions out there by those that I've read on my news reports that is the BRICS is going to destroy the Federal Reserve. And if the Federal Reserve goes away, eventually the IRS, and then it would be almost a positive move on the side where we would have new leadership step right. in and say, okay, now that we've gotten rid of these evil folks at Federal Reserve, we can now establish a new economy or whatever. So that's where that parallel economy thing came up for me in our discussions of maybe that's what you were talking about. I'm not sure. So I try to look for a positive in all of this because we know God's in control. And so what is your take on that type of comment?
So I think it's a really good one. We always must never forget that God is in control.
Okay.
Don't ever forget that. Anybody watching this, don't let the words that LT and I say strike fear into you. When God tells us, don't even care about the sparrows. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough troubles, right? So, right. So don't worry. The point is God's got all of this and he always does. So what when you look at what's manifesting itself, it is big, it is ominous, it can be scary, right? Mm-hmm. But don't let it. With that, you're still going to have even more banks that fail. And we always then have to start asking, well, is ours one of them, right? Is it going to be one of them? You never know which bank is going to fail. But you look at the other countries that are actually leaving our support system of petrodollar and going to BRICS. So we've identified the problem, right? Just look at it with pure logic.
Right.
If you were in Florida this week, and Hurricane Idalia or whatever it was called, were blowing through, and there's this, storm surge of 8 feet, and you live at 3 feet above sea level, it's like, okay, you're going to be 5 feet underwater. This doesn't look good, right? You better get out of Dodge. You better just... Now, does it mean that you're never going back home? Does it mean that things are never going to turn back to normal? No, it doesn't. You just get out of harm's way for a bit, then you go back to what you're used to. Right. Same thing with the economy, right? I think there's going to be things that parallel, that come up. So when I'm talking about a parallel economy, I'm talking about using silver as barter, state chartered banks that get out of the Federal Reserve system that states are already legislating, actually using just gold as legal tender. That's another option that states have already passed. So there's this groundswell of grassroots support that's coming. But what we have to do is act, get out of the path of this hurricane so it doesn't mow us over, right? And so this is what we're doing when we allocate into gold and silver. We're just putting it there for a bit because it's private. It's right. A tangible asset, goes up during times of inflation. Then when things go back to normal and normalize again, we'll lock in those profits. We'll go back into stocks or bonds or something, right? So here's where, don't fret. Don't let stress cause you to not do the right thing. Don't let fear engulf you. Because we're just looking at it with logic. Saying, okay, well, it makes sense. Just like if your normal advisor said, hey, you need to sell your Apple stock and go into Google. And they say, well, why should we do that?
Right.
Well, because it's got higher profit margins, they've got more sales, and it's just the right thing to do. It's like, okay, great. Well, let's do it then. See, nobody thinks about a change from stock to stock as being the end of the world thing.
Right.
All I'm saying is we're changing from paper to gold and silver because it's actually just doing better and it's safer. So don't look at it any different than any other reallocation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's almost as if no matter what happens, how this plays out, all the news, whatever, we seem to always be able to go back to silver and gold as the one that outweighs it all throughout the entire earth. And so that's why you guys play an important role in this. I think you're just growing so much and getting the message out, and the Lord's allowing this to happen. And guys, I just highly encourage you to reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team, andweknow.com/gold. They will help you answer any questions you have that we can't cover in the 20 to 30 minutes that we have. And it's just been fabulous what you guys do. And I appreciate these updates. Definitely want to continue to increase our giving in this area also. So appreciate you guys. Want to lift you up in prayer real quick before we go.
Thanks.
Hey, Heavenly Father, so much going on. And we just definitely know that you're in control, and we worship you, we love you, and we thank you for the guidance you continue to provide us in this strange awkward world that seems to be pummeled by the enemy day in and day out. We just thank you for the comfort and rest and peace you provide us. Thank you for bringing Dr. Kirk Elliott together at such a time as this, perfect timing to provide us a resource so that we can continue to live on this earth and trading and bartering and more. Please continue to protect his team and all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks once again, brother. Appreciate it.
You bet. It's my pleasure.